Hello, this is Brother Jerry, and I want to thank you for responding to our personal contact letter this month. And I believe the message you are about to hear is going to be a tremendous help in your spiritual growth. I believe each and every month to receive a word from God that I can share with my friends and partners so that they will grow in the Lord, grow in His grace, grow in faith, and grow spiritually as well, and become the winner that God has called them to be. So listen to the message very closely today. I believe it's going to bless your life in a very powerful way. And once again, thank you for believing in this ministry. Let's open our Bibles, first of all, this morning to Philippians chapter 3. This is one of my favorite people, the Apostle Paul. As you've heard me say many times, when I get to heaven, I plan to look him up, and I'm going to tell him I preached all his sermons, and I gave him credit for it, praise God. But next to Jesus, the Apostle Paul has ministered to me through his lessons and his teachings and just his very life. He's very out front, so to speak, with what he went through for the gospel's sake. And it wasn't an easy life, but at the same time, he never backed down. He never quit. I think the Apostle Paul got to the place where he enjoyed a good fight. Amen. And his attitude was, you can do whatever you're going to do, but when it's all over with, me and God will still be standing. So that's really not like this man, praise God. So Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, keep that phrase in mind. Apparently, there are things before or ahead that he had not experienced yet, even though he'd experienced a lot in his life as a believer. He's saying, but there's more. There are things ahead. Look at your neighbor and say, there's so much more. There are things ahead. Where you're at right now is not the end of your story. It is not the end of your testimony. Where we are right now as a church, this is not the end of our story. Our story lies ahead. Amen. Amen. It lies ahead. I can see it. I like walking around in a field and looking through the eye of faith. Where you see more than just grass and you see more than just dirt. I see buildings. Amen. Amen. There are things that lie ahead. This is not the end. We got a glorious beginning, but our ending is even more glorious, praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's where we're headed. So notice here he says, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that reveals to me right there, just within those two scriptures, how what lies ahead becomes a part of the now. Recognize that there are things that lie ahead. And then number two, press toward them. That's how you bring them into the now. I've never had anything happen to me that God wanted to happen to me that I didn't press for it. Yes. Yes. Amen. Press for it. In other words, use my faith. Refuse to be moved. Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You know the basics. We're always pressing toward what lies ahead. And that's what we're doing as a church. We're pressing. Now, sometimes it gets a little frustrating because it doesn't all happen in the time frame that we want it to happen, you know. But you have to learn to just be patient. And not like the guy said, I want patience, Lord, and I want it now. That's not the way you get it, you know. Sometimes we just have to be patient. And sometimes we just have to learn to stand. But there are other things that we do that come under the category of pressing. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. Pressing not only means to take your faith and just, you know, like a bulldog and go forward and don't let go until it happens. But one of the ways that we press is to celebrate God's faithfulness all the time. To celebrate God's faithfulness. Amen. So notice here, Paul says, I press. Now, if you read this entire book of Philippians, you'll probably, when you get through, agree with most theologians. It's the happiest letter Paul ever wrote. Theologians call it the joy letter, the rejoicing letter. And he wrote it in the worst of times. He's in the worst prison that exists at that time. They're threatening to take his life. In the natural, this is the worst place to write a joy letter. But on the other hand, it's the best place to write a joy letter. Amen. And he constantly telling them to rejoice. And he doesn't tell them to do something that he doesn't do himself. In fact, we know that this man was accustomed to rejoicing in adversity, because this is not the first time he was in prison. He and Silas were thrown in prison one time, and at midnight they sang praises to God. Amen. And they had been beaten. Their backs are bleeding. They're bruised. They're bloody. And they lifted their hands and began singing praises to God. Now, who wouldn't want to travel with the Apostle Paul? Don't you know when Silas was given that opportunity? Wow, I'm going to get to travel with the greatest man of faith in our age, at our time. And I'm going to get to be with him. And he winds up in prison with his back bleeding. And I'm not sure that Silas was all excited about sing, Silas, sing. Amen. Is this what I get for traveling with you? But this man knew that praising and worshiping and rejoicing was a part of pressing. Amen. Now, that's just the opposite of what most Christians do. You know, when they got adversity, they're not rejoicing. They're not praising. They're not celebrating the faithfulness of God. You know, one of the things that enabled David to slay Goliath was when he saw him, he's the biggest guy he'd ever seen in his life, and everybody around David is telling him, you know, no way, no way. Even Saul, the king, is concerned about David going up against Goliath. David's just a young man, and this Goliath character, he's a champion of the Philistines. He's got a lot of victories under his belt, you know. And Saul even tries to get David to wear his armor. And the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above every man in Israel. If David put his armor on, he probably couldn't even see out of the breastplate. And he said, I don't want that. I don't need that. This uncircumcised Philistine, what does that mean? He and David knew that giant didn't have a covenant, and he did. Hallelujah. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be no different than the lion and the bear. What is he remembering? Previous victories that God gave him. And he's also acknowledging the faithfulness of God. When the lion and the bear came against me, God delivered them into my hands. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be no different than them. Amen. See, sometimes you need to just go back and rehearse previous victories and shout again over them, praise God. How many of you have ever had a victory? How many of you would attribute and credit God for that victory? How many of you, it's fresh on your thinking right now. Why don't you give the Lord another great shout over it? Don't ever stop rehearsing previous victories, and never give anybody else the credit for them but God. Celebrate his faithfulness. Celebrate his faithfulness. Somebody's going to get the hint. Celebrate his faithfulness. I said celebrate his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Message translation says, I've got my eye on the goal. We've got our eye on the goal. What I'm sharing with you doesn't just pertain to us as a body of believers. It pertains to you as an individual. This is where you reach into the future and bring what God has in store into the now. Yes. Amen. For you as an individual. But it doesn't happen without pressing. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm pressing. And one of the ways that we press is to never lose our joy. No matter what's going on around us, never lose our joy. Never stop celebrating the faithfulness of God. So he says, I've got my eye on the goal. The Message translation says, I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. Amen. We're off and running and we're not turning back. And then verse 15 from the Message translation says, so let those of us who are spiritually minded have this mind and hold these convictions. In other words, he's saying, if you are a spiritually minded person, then follow my example. Follow my example. Amen. Amen. Keep pressing. Yes. Don't ever stop celebrating the faithfulness of God. Amen. Amen. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the next verse begins with, and we are confident. Yes. See, if you're truly walking by faith and not by sight, then you will eventually become a very confident person. Amen. I don't have down days. I'm confident. I know in whom I have believed. Folks, I'm coming up on 53 years of ministry, and he's never let me down. Why wouldn't you be confident? Why would I be any other way? Hallelujah. Now, if God will give you what you desire, what else would he do for you? Amen. If you just keep pressing. Yes. Amen. If you just keep pressing. And one of the areas, a characteristic of pressing is never stop celebrating his faithfulness. Amen. I say that all the time. In fact, in nearly every letter I write, in that letter somewhere, they're going to see me write these words in all capitals and underlined with an exclamation mark. God is faithful. Yes. God is faithful. I celebrate the faithfulness of God all the time. Hallelujah. Not just when I'm preaching. I celebrate the faithfulness of God. I talk about the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9 says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So once again, there are things that God has already prepared that we haven't seen yet. And some of them, they haven't even been conceived in our heart yet. And they will be as we continue fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, because that's how it's revealed. Amen. Amen. And so there are things that are prepared. There are things that lie ahead. Amen. Then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, subject to change, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Okay? So Paul is telling us that one of the characteristics or aspects of walking by faith is don't keep focusing on what you can see. Look beyond that to what can't be seen with the natural eye. Did you know there's a third eye? It's called the eye of faith. The eye of faith. And it sees beyond. It sees beyond what you can see with the natural eye. Amen. Now, the Message translation says it this way. There's far more than meets the eye. There's far more than meets the eye. Amen.
Amen.
What we can see now, we're celebrating God's faithfulness, but we can also celebrate His faithfulness for what we believe is coming, because they're far more than what our eyes can see, our natural eyes can see right now. God always has more in store for us to experience and to enjoy. I'm always grateful for what I've already experienced, but I don't camp out there. I'm grateful for it, but I'm always pressing toward that which lies ahead. Amen. You remember in Genesis chapter 13, God said to Abraham, "Look from this place where thou art." Look from the place where you are right now. And He showed him what lies ahead. In verse 15, He says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it." So in other words, look at where you are right now, but don't camp out there. Don't limit God by saying, "This is all there is. This is probably all I'll ever experience. This is all I'll ever see." No, look where you are, but then look at where God wants to take you. And you have to do that through the eye of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Look at where He wants to take you, because this is not the end. Now, in verse 17, God says, "Arise." In other words, look at where you are, then look through the eye of faith at where God wants to take you, and don't just sit there. Arise.
Yes.
And do what? Start pressing.
Yes.
Start pressing. Arise. The message says, "On your feet, get moving. I'm giving it all to you."
Yes.
So faith without corresponding actions, you know, is void of power. So we look at where we are, then we look at where God wants to take us. We arise, we begin pressing, and sometimes the only way that we can press is by the words of our mouth and our praise and our worship and our celebrating His faithfulness. But that'll get you going forward. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Now remember, Paul's in prison facing death, and yet he writes this joyful letter. And in verse 19 he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Notice, even though he's in a very difficult situation, he's confident that it's going to turn to his advantage. Amen.
Amen.
Do you suppose that was the foundation or his knowing to worship and to rejoice and to praise God in the midst of adversity was the foundation for him being able to say, "I know this is going to turn"? He knew how to celebrate the faithfulness of God. He talked about it. He talked about it. He wrote it in his letters. In Timothy, he said, "Affliction and persecution, tests and trials came against me, or came at me in Antioch and several other cities." He said, "But through them all, God delivered me." What's he doing? Celebrating the faithfulness of God. Amen.
Amen.
He talked about in a letter he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, "We were pressed beyond measure. What we went through was almost impossible to bear, but God delivered us." And then he added this, "And he will still deliver us." He's celebrating the faithfulness of God, and he's already celebrating what he believed God would do in the future.
Amen.
Amen. Are you receiving this today?
Amen.
Once again, I'm not talking to us just as a body of believers, but to you as an individual. God's got so much more. in store for you and your family that you haven't heard anything about. You hadn't seen it with your natural eye. It's not even conceived in your heart, but God's got it ready for you. It's waiting for you. Just keep pressing. And one of the ways you do it is always celebrate His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. So He says, I know this will turn. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. In other words, just because I'm in a prison facing death, I'm not changing one thing I believe. I'm not changing one way in the way I act. And I'm not changing one thing about how I worship God. I can worship God when I'm out on the street free, and I'll worship Him the same way right here in this dungeon. That's a great lesson right there. We're all shouting and singing in here. What do you do when you're home by yourself? Amen. That's where it counts the most. Anybody can shout and dance and sing in this kind of atmosphere, but we can't all go home with you. I can't jump out of your closet and say, hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. You're going to become your own best cheerleader. Amen. Sometimes you just have to grab yourself by the ear, pull yourself in there in the mirror, point at yourself and say, you're not going to act like this. You are not going to act like this. Now get that frown off your face. Raise your head up. Straighten your shoulders back. Tell the devil if it's a fight he wants, it's a fight he's going to get. But when the dust settles, you and God are going to be winning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, it'd be wonderful if Brother Copeland could come and grab you by the ear. But it's not likely that's going to happen. So you're going to become your own best cheerleader. Amen. So with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified. Christ shall be magnified, no matter what I'm going through. Now, go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How often are we to be rejoicing?
Always.
But when is always?
Always
is right now. Why are we rejoicing? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, we just had always. Now again. And again. And again, I say rejoice. Oh my goodness, always is already gone. Let's do it again. And again. Now you can do this in your home by yourself. And that's when you need to be doing it, particularly when the devil's trying to get you down about what is not happening. Amen. Just stop and think what God's already done and just jump up and go to shouting and praising God and dance the best you can. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a pretty good dancer when I'm all by myself. Amen. All right. Now, listen to what the Passion Translation says. For the King James Version, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Celebrate in every season of life. Let joy overflow. Celebrate in every season of life and let joy overflow. One of my most popular books, and has been since the day I wrote it. I think I wrote it in 1981. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. It's been reprinted I don't know how many times and I don't know how many languages, and it's gone all over the world. Amen. I have people walk up to me in the airport and say, hey, if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. That happened to us in Singapore. The first time Carol and I went to Singapore. We didn't know anybody in Singapore. Landed there, walking down the terminal. I don't know who's supposed to pick us up. It's kind of late at night. We'd been in Australia, and now we're in Singapore. We don't have a clue who's going to pick us up. And that's a busy airport. And there were two young men coming toward us. They had this silly grin on their face. I said, that might be our ride. When they got up to us, they didn't say, hello, Brother Jerry. Hello, Sister Carolyn. First thing they said was, oh, Satan can't steal your joy, can't keep your goods. I said, that's our ride, Carolyn. I'd never been to Singapore. The book got over there before I got there. Amen. And that's what's happened all over the world. Amen. So celebrate in every season of life. Let joy overflow. What does overflowing joy look like? Can anybody demonstrate to me what overflowing joy might look like? Anybody else? Overflowing joy. How would you act if somebody came in and said, I've just paid off all your bills, just bought you a brand new house, bought you a brand new car. Overflowing joy. Celebrate in every season of life. Let joy overflow. Now, why aren't we doing that at home? In every season of life. Amen. That would include in the tough times. That would include in the times where it looks like nothing's working. It would include when you just had a major breakthrough. In every season of life, let joy overflow. What are we doing when we let joy overflow? We're pressing. We're pressing. When everything's going great and when nothing's happening and it looks like God's even forgotten where you live and forgotten your name, let joy overflow. Don't ever allow the devil to steal your joy. Don't ever allow him to keep you discouraged. Don't ever let him think he's winning. Don't ever give him reason to think you can't take anymore. Amen. Rejoice in spite of how it looks or how it feels. It's not over yet. Even if it looks as though he's knocked you down, do what Micah tells you to do. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. When I fall, I shall arise. Amen. The Message translation says, I might be down, but I'm not out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody shout, I might be down, but I'm not out. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's how you keep pressing. You get knocked down seven times, you keep getting up. Amen. The solution to winning when you get knocked down seven times, get up eight. Just get up one more time, then the devil knocks you down. Never, 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 never accept defeat. Hallelujah. Just get up, and if you can barely speak, use what little bit of voice you got to say, thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. I celebrate your faithfulness. I celebrate your goodness. Isaiah 54:17, the Amplified says, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That means you were born to win. You were not born to lose. You were not born to just exist. You were not born to just barely get by. You were born to win. Triumph over opposition is your heritage. So no matter what you're going through right now, stand up in the devil's face and let him know you are not intimidated. Hallelujah. You are not intimidated. Satan has no defense for praise, no defense for worship, no defense for rejoicing. What's he going to do? You remember the story where God confounded the children of Israel's enemies and they started turning on themselves? Well, perhaps that's what happens in the bowels of this earth. When you start praising God in the midst of adversity and you let the devil know you're not intimidated, he does not know what to do with that. He has no defense for it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. It didn't say rejoice when everything's going well. Rejoice in the good times. Rejoice when you just had a miracle. Oh, those are times we rejoice, but it didn't say that. It said rejoice evermore. The Message translation, if this doesn't answer it, I don't know what does. Be cheerful no matter what. Be cheerful no matter what. Folks, we're pressing. This is what we're doing this morning. We're pressing. We're pressing toward what is to come with our church. You're pressing toward what is to come as an individual, praise God. Don't ever stop celebrating the faithfulness of God, no matter what's happening. The Message translation says, be cheerful no matter what. And then it adds this, the next verse. This is the way God wants you. This is the way God wants you. Rejoicing shows that you're still believing that God is not going to let you fail. He's not going to let you be defeated. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I know this shall turn. Because he was praising God in the midst of his adversity. He didn't just challenge the Philippian believers to do it. He did it himself. He practiced what he preached. Amen. Because he knew that God was going to turn it all around for him. The Message translation says this in Philippians 1:19. I'm going to keep the celebration going. Everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue my course. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you know why I like this man so much. Yes. He doesn't major and focus on defeat. He's pressing toward what is going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how you and I should be. Responding in praise and worship and gratitude and thankfulness for the faithfulness of God, no matter what. Amen. Now, I can almost hear somebody thinking out loud, Brother Jerry, that all sounds good, but you don't know what I'm going through. Well, let me ask you this. Has discouragement, sadness, and depression helped at all? Then are you ready to try something else? How far has depression got you? How far has discouragement got you? How far is being sad and hopeless? How far has that got you? Has it changed anything? Not at all. So you're a candidate for change. Like that old commercial said, try it, you'll like it. Amen. Amen. So, listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Amplified says, or when you encounter trials. And another translation says, when you're experiencing testings and trials. Count it all joy. The Passion translation says this. When it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Well, listen to this. For you know that when your faith is tested, now listen to this, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Amen. When your faith is being tested, it's an opportunity for you to experience your greatest joy. Now, most people don't look at it that way. But the Bible says it can produce and stir up power within you and enable you to endure all things. So remaining joyful in spite of adversity is a form of pressing. Pressing toward that which God has arranged and prearranged and God has made ready for you. No wonder the devil hopes that you will never learn this. He wished you'd have stayed home today. Like one guy said, Lord, I'm not going to church today. Them people don't like me. I don't like them. Why do I have to go? The Lord said, you're the pastor. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Now, the Message translation says this for James. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. It says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Yes. Amen. If you can't rejoice in adversity, then your faith just showed its true colors. See, faith is not just for the good times. It's especially for the bad times. Amen. Will you cave in adversity? Or will you continue to fight? Will you give up in adversity? Or will you continue to rejoice? When you continue to rejoice, you're defying the devil. Amen. Never stop celebrating. It's just a matter of time, and God is going to turn it all around. David said in Psalm 9, verses 1 through 4, I will praise thee, O Lord. I will be glad and rejoice, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. The Amplified says, I will rejoice in you and be in high spirits. High spirits means lively and cheerful. The Message translation says, listen to this. This is high spirits. I'm whistling, I'm laughing, and I'm jumping for joy. So, everybody that can whistle, let's act on this verse. Whistle. Everybody that can laugh, laugh. Everybody that can jump for joy, jump for joy. Amen. I'm whistling, I'm laughing, and I'm jumping for joy. And here's why he's doing this. The Message translation says, you took over. You set everything right. When I needed you the most, you were there taking charge. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And notice that all came as a result of him not allowing Satan to steal his joy. Yes. He celebrated the faithfulness of God. Never stop celebrating his faithfulness. Psalm 30 verse 1 says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. The word extol means to exalt, to magnify, to praise, to glorify, to laud, and to celebrate. The Message translation says, I will give you all the credit, God. You got me out of that mess. Amen. How many of you need for God to get you out of a mess? Come on, lift your hand if you need for God to get you out of a mess. Well, let me tell you how the psalmist got out of his mess. Praising God, magnifying God, glorifying God. Amen. And if he did it for the psalmist, then he'll do it for you. Amen. Let me close it with this. We are called to rejoice. We have a calling on our life to rejoice, to be grateful, to celebrate his faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is the will of God for you. And the Passion Translation says, this is God's perfect plan for you. So we're just going to keep right on rejoicing and thanking God for his faithfulness. Keep pressing toward the next phase of what he has for us as a church. Keep pressing toward the next phase, what he has for you. And we're going to do that pressing not only by speaking words of faith, not only by corresponding actions, but also through our praise and thanksgiving, and never, ever forgetting to thank him for his faithfulness. Amen. Give the Lord your best shout this morning.
This completes our message. In a moment, I'll give you our contact information. But first, here's a special message from Jerry Savelle.
Thank you, partners, for believing in this ministry, believing in our vision. We appreciate you so very much. You're helping us reach people all over the world with the uncompromising word of faith. And for those of you that are not partners, we'd love for you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us. You know, being a partner with Jerry Savelle Ministries means that you're helping touch lives all over the world. You're helping me bring the message of faith, the message of love, and teaching people how to become winners in life. And I'm telling you, the rewards are unending. And today, I believe that if you'll become a partner with our ministry, the same anointing, the same grace, the same favor that is on me will come on you. So prayerfully consider becoming our partner. We appreciate all of you that have invested in our ministry. We thank you for your confidence in the call of God upon our lives. And we thank you once again for helping us reach people all over the world. And let me just say in closing that you are destined to win. Don't ever forget, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
If you would like to receive free information about becoming a partner with Jerry Savelle, or if you would like to support the outreaches of Jerry Savelle Ministries International, call 617-557-6534 or write to us at Lot Bag 2, Burley, BC, Queensland 4220. You can also give online at jerrysavelle.org.